Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom and this is the third part of the gastroenterology short answer question series. If you like these short answer questions, you can find them in a written format along with multiple choice questions, extended matching questions, digital flashcards, my course on how to learn medicine, and a tracking tool to help you prepare for exams, all at members.zerotofinals.com. But for now, let's get straight into this third and final part in the gastroenterology short answer questions series. Question 99. What are the two types of peptic ulcer? Gastric and duodenal. Question 100. What does the stomach mucosa secrete in the mucus coating to protect it from stomach acid? Bicarbonate. Question 101. What key risk factors for peptic ulcers involve disruption to the mucus barrier? Helicobacter pylori infection and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs. Question 102. What is the medical term for vomiting blood? Hematemesis. Question 103. What is the descriptive term for the black, tarry stools that occur with upper gastrointestinal bleeding? Melena. Question 104. What term describes the appearance of old, coagulated blood in the vomit of a patient with upper gastrointestinal bleeding? Coffee ground vomit. Question 105. What blood result would you expect in iron deficiency anemia secondary to chronic microscopic gastrointestinal bleeding? A low hemoglobin, low mean corpuscular volume or MCV, and low ferritin. Question 106. What condition involves transmural perforation of the esophagus due to intense retching or vomiting? Boerhaave's syndrome. What is Mackler's triad of features in Boerhaave's syndrome? Vomiting, severe chest pain, and subcutaneous emphysema, or air in the subcutaneous tissue. Question 107. What condition involves a tear in the esophageal mucosa, often following intense retching or vomiting, and causing upper gastrointestinal bleeding? A Mallory Weiss tear. Question 108. What scoring system is used at the initial presentation in suspected upper gastrointestinal bleeding? The Glasgow-Blatchford score. Question 109. What scoring system is used after endoscopy to estimate the risk of re-bleeding and mortality in upper gastrointestinal bleeding? The Rockall score. Question 110. When would a platelet infusion be given in a patient with active upper gastrointestinal bleeding? When they have significant thrombocytopenia, for example, a platelet count less than 50. Question 111. What additional management steps before endoscopy would be included in treating bleeding esophageal varices compared with other causes of upper gastrointestinal bleeding? Terlipressin and broad-spectrum antibiotics. Question 112. Which type of inflammatory bowel disease involves skip lesions? Crohn's disease. Which type involves transmural inflammation? Crohn's disease. Which type involves an association with primary sclerosing cholangitis? Ulcerative colitis. Which type only affects the colon and the rectum? Ulcerative colitis. Which type involves blood in the stools more often? Ulcerative colitis. Which type involves the entire gastrointestinal tract? Crohn's disease. Which type involves inflammation particularly affecting the terminal ileum? Crohn's disease. Which type only affects the superficial mucosa? Ulcerative colitis. Which type involves fistulas more often? Crohn's disease. Question 113. What condition associated with inflammatory bowel disease involves tender red nodules on the shins caused by inflammation of the subcutaneous fat? Erythema nodosum. Question 114. What condition associated with inflammatory bowel disease involves rapidly enlarging, painful skin ulcers, often on the legs? Pyoderma gangrenosum. Question 115. What stool test is used to screen for inflammatory bowel disease? Fecal calprotectin. Question 116. What investigation is used to confirm the diagnosis of inflammatory bowel disease? A colonoscopy with multiple intestinal biopsies. Question 117. What is the first-line treatment for mild to moderate acute ulcerative colitis? Aminosalicylates, for example, oral or rectal mesalazine. Question 118. What is the first-line treatment for an acute exacerbation of Crohn's disease? Steroids, for example, oral prednisolone or IV hydrocortisone. Question 119. What treatment may be used to induce remission in Crohn's disease where there are concerns about the side effects of drugs, particularly in children? Enteral nutrition. Question 120. What is the first-line treatment for maintaining remission in ulcerative colitis? Aminosalicylates, for example, oral or rectal mesalazine. Question 121. What surgical procedure may be used to treat ulcerative colitis definitively? A panproctocolectomy, which involves removing the entire large bowel and rectum. Question 122. What are the usual first-line drug options for maintaining remission in Crohn's, where required? Azathioprine or mecaptopurine. Question 123. What are the three key features of irritable bowel syndrome? intestinal discomfort, meaning abdominal pain relating to the bowels, bowel habit abnormalities, and stool abnormalities, meaning watery, loose, or hard stools, or stools associated with mucus. Question 124. What blood test is considered in women, but not in men, when excluding other causes of the symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome? CA125. What does CA125 screen for? Ovarian cancer. Question 125. What antibodies are checked when excluding other causes of the symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome? Anti-TTG antibodies. What do anti-TTG antibodies screen for? Celiac disease. Question 126. How long should the symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome be present before establishing the diagnosis? At least 6 months. Question 127. What type of laxative is the first-line choice for constipation in irritable bowel syndrome? Bulk-forming laxatives, for example, Ispagula husk. Question 128. What medication is used for diarrhea symptoms in irritable bowel syndrome? Loperamide. Question 129. What other autoimmune conditions are particularly linked with celiac disease? Type 1 diabetes and thyroid disease. Question 130. What are the top two antibodies used to screen for celiac disease? Anti-tissue transglutaminase antibodies, or anti-TTG, and anti-endomysial antibodies, or anti-EMA. Question 131. What is the name for the itchy, blistering skin rash, typically on the abdomen, that can be caused by celiac disease? Dermatitis herpetiformis. Question 132. What is seen on examination of jejunal biopsies in celiac disease? Crypt hyperplasia and villus atrophy. Question 133. What is the treatment for celiac disease? A lifelong gluten-free diet. So thanks for listening to this episode of Questions on Gastroenterology. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. If you like these questions, you can find these plus many more questions and resources at members.zerotofinals.com. The Zero to Finals members site costs £9.60 a month, and you can cancel it at any time. However, I really think that if you sign up and have a look, you'll find that it's really useful and it will become your go-to resource for learning medicine and testing yourself on the medicine and surgery content. And I hope you join us for the next episode, where we'll move on to short answer questions on respiratory.